This is real news. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute.
And joining me today on Real News is my friend and colleague from the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication, Professor Tim Gleason. And one of the reasons, Tim, that I asked you to participate in this series is because of the work that you do on ethics, both as a scholar and running our Ansel Payne Awards for Ethics in Journalism. And it seems as we try to figure out with this series devices for the news consumer to differentiate fact from fiction, that ethics plays a strong role here. If we have what we might consider decent personal ethics, are we in a better position to understand who's lying to us and who's telling us the truth as a news consumer?
Well, I think it would be useful in that you could apply your ethical framework to whatever it is you're viewing, reading, consuming. And that's certainly one guidepost that you would use to determine whether what you're reading is real or fact or fiction or a lie. I mean, I think there's sort of an interesting question there, just simply in the use of the term lie. From an ethical perspective, what does it mean to lie? Is it a lie if you believe it? Is it do you have to intend to try to deceive someone? All of those things come into play, and certainly having a strong ethical, personal ethical framework and a thoughtful one, it would be valuable in sorting out truth and from fiction and lies from mistakes in the world of in the news ecosystem.
And in that news ecosystem, one of the things that you work on is the legal definition of what is a journalist. So if we're looking at the reality that we face currently, where it is so easy to, at least I believe it is, to credibly lie because the infrastructure for creating a false journalistic-like presence, especially on the internet, is cheap and easy. How do we define what a journalist is? And how do we ascertain that somebody who says they're a journalist is one? And in the context of the First Amendment, something else that you look at, whose business is it to decide who's a journalist?
Well, that's a very complicated set of statements, Peter, to unpack. But let's start with what I think is a couple of basic elements of the definition of a journalist. The first one is that a journalist is someone who is dealing in fact, not assertion. And in dealing in fact, that journalist is using a method to sort out fact from fiction and truth from falsity and assertion from fact-based statement. And that process that a journalist uses, and there are more than one, but I think one of the things that a consumer can do is look at that question of, well, what's the basis for this journalist's claim? What's the basis for saying that X is the truth? And then how did that journalist come to that conclusion? And I think those are two critical factors for what defines a journalist. And the third thing that I think defines a journalist is that it's someone who is attempting to inform the public, not persuade the public, but inform the public. And so I think those three elements of fact-based, a transparent process, and an intent to inform are kind of three of the pillars of any definition of who is a journalist. As to who gets to decide, we certainly in this country, and in given the constitutional history of free speech and the First Amendment, are very reluctant to place that decision in the hands of government, whether it be the judicial branch or the legislative branch, certainly not the executive branch. So the whole idea of licensing a journalist is something that is anathema to most scholars in the United States. Although I will say there's this increasing belief that the government may have a role to play in this arena, given the attempt to do something to stop the torrent of misinformation, false information that we live with in the internet.
Yeah, disinformation, flat out propaganda in the guise of the news, as you described what a journalist is. So are there any techniques, tactics that you can suggest that the news consumer use trying to differentiate between that which is legitimate, according to your definition of what a journalist should be, and that which is designed to be misguiding and leading the consumer astray under the guise of seeming to be a legitimate journalist?
Well, and the one thing that I think we all need to do is to some one way or another sort of triangulate. In other words, if you read something that is stated as fact, and that fact seems to be questionable in one way or another, then find it somewhere else. See whether that fact is in fact a fact. I'll just give you a very quick example. And this was something that I didn't see the whole report, but there was something that showed up on the local news here, I think yesterday, where somebody in DC who was part of the Sinclair Group's news operation, national news operation, was reporting on a report that alleges that COVID came out of the Wuhan lab. Well, this was being presented as a definitive report. I could find reference to that report, and I will admit I didn't do a lot of research because I knew enough about it, but I couldn't find that report being cited anywhere else.
It's suspect then on the face of it, because something that consequential would be reported elsewhere besides a place that has a history of questionable journalistic ethics.
Right, and in which it was reporting it in such a way that, again, having enough background, knowing something about the company, knowing something about the subject matter, I was able to say, well, this just doesn't look right. And I couldn't find it elsewhere. And so I presume it wasn't right, the report was not being presented in an accurate way.
And so perhaps in summation, you're suggesting that the news consumer do what we hope our students do, and that is engage in critical thinking and not just be passive recipients of slick presentations.
Right. And we all need to be less than confident that whatever is our favorite source of information is always right and is always accurate, because in fact, it isn't. It's neither always right, nor is it always accurate. It's not a question of political persuasion. It's true across the board. So you need to be a critical consumer of news. And you also need to be an honest consumer of news in the sense that you recognize that your particular favorite source of information, and we all have them, has a bias, has a point of view, has a perspective, and that perspective is going to, in one way or another, color what that news organization reports. And that's true whether you're talking about mainstream media, and it's even more true if you're talking about much of what we see in social media.
And perhaps guard against that which is reinforcing our beliefs, because that kind of cycle can be dangerous to critical thinking, and then look for sources that report in opposition to those favorites that you talk about, if they seem to come from a perspective of responsibility.
And I guess the last thing I would say, Peter, is that it's, one could listen to this and say, well, you university professors have a lot of time. you can spend your time, scouring the internet to try to find out about it and things. But I don't. I'm a busy person, and I want to get my 5 minutes of news in the morning from NPR, or I'm going to get my 5 minutes from Fox, and I'm going to go. You don't have to go into great detail. You simply have to be skeptical at all times and know that whatever that source of news, there's another version of that story out there.
Be skeptical at all times. Great words to leave us with, Professor Tim Gleason. Thank you for joining us here today on Real News.
Thank you, Peter. Glad to do it.
You've been listening to Real News. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. Join us again for more on Real News.